Okay.
Lord God, I pray that we have a good class today and that we'll take in everything that Pastor Don says and we'll just have a good day today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good to see everyone this morning. Okay, we got Elma. Elma came in. Who made the breakfast this morning, by the way?
Donna.
Donna, thank you very much. All right. Well, Elma, we love them too. Okay, let's look here. Right. All right, today is week number 10 in our biblical worldview class. And let me just ask a question real quick. What is a worldview? Just raise your hand real quick. Give it to Elma. Elma knows.
Elma. Have pants like that, she knows everything.
Elma, you cannot hide in a crowd with that outfit, all right? What is a worldview?
Let your pants do the talking.
Yeah.
A worldview is how people view the world.
Hey, you know what, Elma? That's exactly right. Exactly,
I mean,
right.
See? That's fine? Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you, Elma.
Exactly right. Okay, give her back the microphone. Stay by her today.
Okay.
I got a feeling she's going to be doing a lot of answering of questions here.
I feel that too, yes.
You know? Yes. Give us an example how people would view the world differently. Two different types of people.
Well, as a Christian, we view the world based on God's word. We try to live by God's standard and His word. Someone that's not a Christian and someone that is an atheist views the world as there is no God and they just go about doing whatever mm-hmm. is okay to, you know, they have no standard, no set of values to go by.
Exactly right. So we all see the world different. When you get married, you see the world different from your wife. Your wife sees it different from you. It doesn't matter. We all have a different way we view the world. As we come to Christ, our way of viewing the world should always be what saith the Scripture. I don't know how many times it says that in the New Testament, you know, that Jesus would answer the question. They would ask Jesus a question, you know, should we do this or not do this? And Jesus would always say, what saith the Scriptures? That was always their answer. And even when the church began to grow after the ascension of Christ, the Scriptures were always the reference point. And we have to have some type of reference point to go back to, okay? So I've entitled today, Alien Assumptions. What is an assumption? Anybody know what an assumption is? Randy?
Basically assuming.
Well, that's great. And a shun is a shun. You know, you remember who Clyde Crash Cup was?
Yes, one of my personal heroes.
Tell them who Clyde Crash Cup was, Bob.
The cartoon or the real Clyde?
The cartoon.
The cartoon, well, he was a race car driver, and he couldn't see, couldn't drive. He would always crash.
No, you're thinking of Mr. Magoo, not Clyde Crash Cup. Clyde Crash Cup was the scientist who would draw stuff on the board, and then it would come to life. You remember that?
Oh, sorry, yes. He would, and he had some little guys.
Assistant.
He would draw these different things and talk about them. As he'd talk about them, they would kind of come to life, and it'd be a cartoon. They were always making moral things, you know, for kids.
Yeah, but the reason I said that is because whenever he gave the definition of a word, he would always say, like, assumption. He would say, you know, assumpt is for assumpt and shun is for shun. He would never give you the definition. He'd just break it down like that, just like you did there, okay? To assume. Okay, what does it mean to assume something?
To guess.
To what?
To guess at it.
To guess. That's exactly right. Okay.
Or to make a judgment with limited facts.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you walked in here this morning and breakfast was there and you saw Annie walking around or, you know, somebody else, you might assume one of them put the food up there on the table. Okay? And you walk in there and you saw somebody, you know, Donna scrubbing or moving stuff around, then you might have a little bit more information. Well, Donna might have done it, you know. She seems to be busying herself. So, yeah, they're making kind of guesses with limited knowledge or sometimes no knowledge. Okay, and we'll look at that a little bit more. All right, Ed, you move on there. Okay, I want to show you a little video. How many of you guys watch that series Breaking Bad? Okay, Donna, you like it?
Yeah, I do.
Donna liked it. Okay, Donna will get it. But let me give you the background why I'm showing this. This young man, Jesse Pinkman, was a high school kid, and The whole show is about him and his ex-chemistry teacher hooking up to cook meth. Okay? The chemistry teacher was dying of cancer, but he wanted to leave some money to his family once he passed on. So he wanted to do a good thing, but he was going to do it in a bad way. So as the show evolves, you see the character's personality evolve, and the chemistry teacher, he gravitates towards just total sin. But Jesse Pinkman always had a conscience about him. When they did something that was really bad, it would just hurt him. So he's got to go to this group help session, like an NA or AA, like Wes would run here. And so they go there, and these people are trying to tell him to look at life like you've got to forgive yourself. You know, you're too hard on yourself. You have to accept yourself for who you are. But Jesse, being pretty streetwise, sees himself totally different because he knows what he's done in his life. And I want you to listen to the interplay between him and the rest of the group. All right, go ahead. Everybody hear it back there, okay?
So the truth is, we can't change the past. What's done is done. We got to own our actions, but putting ourselves on trial, acting as our own judge, jury, and executioner, it's not the answer. Because a lot of the time, all that judging does is just ensure that we're going to repeat the cycle. Right? We're not here to sit in judgment.
Why not?
The thing is, if you just do stuff and nothing happens, what's it all mean? What's the point? Oh, right, this whole thing is about self-acceptance. Kicking the hell out of yourself doesn't give meaning to anything. So I should stop judging and accept.
To start.
So no matter what I do, hooray for me because I'm a great guy. It's all good. No matter how many dogs I kill, I just do an inventory and accept. I mean, you back your truck over your own kid and you like accept? What a load of crap.
Hey, Jesse, I know you're in pain.
No, you know what? Why I'm here in the first place is to sell you meth. You're nothing to me but customers. You okay with that? Huh? You accept?
No.
About time.
Hit the lights here. Okay, when you saw that, you know, it's funny, who should have been leading that self-help group? The young man, Jesse. You see, everybody else wanted to accept themselves, say, well, you know what, I'm a good guy, and, you know, that's what basically was going on in this group. But Jesse, if you've watched the show, he had been involved in some stuff. They had murdered a young boy. He himself had murdered someone. And so every time he did that, there was this conflict with his conscience. He knew it would terrorize him of what he was doing. And you saw that he couldn't sleep. He started doing more drugs, trying to erase the memory of what he had did. So he's got to go to this group, and he goes there. Well, you've got to accept yourself. And he knows it's all a bunch of BS. Now, what would have been great there would have been for somebody to say, you know what, you can't forgive yourself, but through Christ you can be forgiven. We know the Apostle Paul, what did he call himself? The chief of what? Sinners. All sinners. Why, Jerry?
Because that's the way he lived his life for a while.
Give us just a little background, what he did that he would look at himself differently.
Well, he persecuted the Christians completely. I mean, emphatically and
wholeheartedly.
Exactly right. Paul writes about himself to Timothy and he says, I used to be a murderer, an idolater, and worst of all, a blasphemer. And so we got to come, you know, and all of us, we come to the point where we got to be honest with ourselves in life, like this young Jesse Pinkman. What kind of people are? Well, the Bible says that we're what? We are all sinners. You know, in the Catholic Church, they call it original sin, and it's actually a biblical concept. We're all born into sin. We're alienated from God. But when we come to God, like this young man, we got to take that self-inventory and say, you know what? I am not this good guy. I'm not going to accept myself for who I am, because when you're honest with yourself, you look back, you go, wow, I did some horrible things. And that's what repentance is all about, isn't it? So you see, he saw the world differently than the rest of the people in that group. Do you think they started to see their world a little bit different after he chewed them out? That was a great scene. Really was. Okay, go to the next. All right, let's look real quick, just run down here. Go ahead, hit the switch there. Just understanding the nature of the problem. We talk about worldviews. We say that we all have to understand that we all have a worldview. We may never have articulated it or wrote it down, but it's a philosophy. It's a way of looking at life. There's a standard that we're going to judge everything by. Okay? Aliens are myths. We have to understand they're not just one worldview that everybody sees through. You know, in our nation, when it was founded, everybody basically had a Christian worldview, even though a lot of them weren't Christians. But they understood the world through a biblical lens. Our job is to destroy all these alien views. That's when Jesus said, go in all the world and disciple the nations. Teach them to observe His law, His word. How to implement it. For what? A good life. All right? Know how aliens think. It's important that we know how they think. That's what we've been doing in this class, examining what we just saw right there. How do they think? Why do they think the way they do? Go ahead. We're overrun by aliens during this week. Anybody see in the news what the governor of California just did? Governor Brown, who is a far left whack job. Jerry, do you know what he did? Yeah, that's not the one I'm looking. There's even nuttier than that. Jerry Brown just signed into law. This is now the law of California. You do not have to be a physician to perform an abortion on a young woman. I swear on a stack of Bibles, he just signed that into law this week. Anybody else read that? See that? Okay. So, you know, could you imagine one of us performing some type of minor surgery? You know, if you're working in the school and some kid came in, you can't even give the kid an aspirin, a bare aspirin, without permission. And now they're going to bring yahoos in off the street to do abortions? You know, abortion's not just you know, putting a Band-Aid on a wound. It's a very serious medical procedure. Annie's involved, you know, with the crisis pregnancy center. Why? Well, hey, you understand these young girls, they'll go in there. They're not going to give them all the information. People don't know how many of these young girls die because their wound is perforated. And then they're put in a back room and, you know, take a pill, go home. Bob.
One of the reasons they're doing that is they're not saying it, but more and more doctors are backing out of doing abortions. We don't hear that. But it is a fact that there is, from I think 10 years ago, there's 25 to 50% less doctors willing to do abortions than there used to be.
Well, why would you think there's less doctors willing to do abortions? Malpractice, exactly right. The insurance is through the roof. Now, backing this law is one of our favorite groups, Planned Parenthood. Now, didn't Planned Parenthood tell everybody, we want to make abortions safe, legal, and what? Rare. But now they're supporting this law. And I was thinking, why would they support people that aren't even doctors coming and do it? You know what? Because they're going to sell franchise like McDonald's.
Also, they always made a point of the whole part of this, what they're saying is part of a bigger picture, getting good quality medical care to poor women.
Yeah.
And that's doing it by getting a physician from the Shane Trammely beer and wine store, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they have some bum standing out on the street. Come on in and do abortions. But, you know, it'll be easier to hide people that do these things and get them out of the system. So it's incredible. Yeah, check that. You can search that on Google search. So we're overrun by crazy ideas. Okay? The commonalities of all alien worldviews, we say there's a common thread. For most of them, you have a view, there is no God. How can you make a law like that if there is a God and he says that murder's wrong? You couldn't. But obviously, do they believe that? No. Okay? Go ahead. Okay? The consequences of an alien worldview, there are consequences to everything. And last one, alien indoctrination. All right, go to the next slide. Assumptions. Okay, Randy, now this is what, a thing which is accepted as true or as certain to happen without any proof or with little proof. So we all have assumptions that we operate under. Bob?
Just to jump back to that last part, there was something we read over the weekend I couldn't believe. Because of the budget shutdown, the government shutting down.
Right.
And lack of funds, some service people are only getting two meals a day now.
Right.
Prisoners in jail, by rights, have to be given three. Servicemen over in Afghanistan might get two meals. A guy in jail for murder, by our laws, has to get three hot meals.
And, you know, he has a nice room, you know, that jail cell, and medical care. Yep. Another thing they're doing is no survivor benefits being paid out to widows of these servicemen being killed. Unbelievable how they treat these guys. People really need to have their whole view changed. Another thing, the World War II monument in D.C., it was closed to the public, put the police there. Would not let the World War II veterans go and go to the park. But they held a rally there with all these illegal aliens. Thousands of them. And they opened the park for them. And you're scratching your head and you go, what in the world are our leaders doing? The men and women that died for this country are denied access to this park. There's not even a fence around the park. You can walk through the thing. You're exactly right. Exactly right. But when the illegal aliens and some of their representatives came to protest the borders, oh, they moved it down, brought everybody in, took the, you know, the photographs, the aerial view. This is what we got to do. We got to fight for the alien rights. But when it comes to those who were with, they closed Normandy Beach. I didn't know I didn't know that was part American property. But they closed it. Wouldn't let any of the Americans that were over in France go and visit Normandy Beach, where these men and these women died coming into Europe in World War II. Just unbelievable. Yes.
Donna.
I have a friend who just came back from out west. He was hiking through all the national parks, and he had to come back early because they were closing all the parks.
Right.
But the worst part was, he says, even the main roads where you can just, like, go by Mount Rushmore, and they had lookouts, they blocked the lookouts. And that was a main, like, I-94 or something. But here's the real deal. People who, there's a lot of private property in the national parks. People own homes there. They've owned them for years. They are making them leave their homes. Yeah. They are arresting them if they don't leave their own home.
Yeah. You have Gestapo tactics. Oh, it's unbelievable what these guys are doing. So you see, understand, you know, it used to be that in the schools we would teach a certain type of worldview. Well, there's a worldview being taught or a religious view being taught in the schools. It's just not the Christian worldview. All right. So there's five basic alien assumptions. What, you know, when we look at, we looked at these before. Is there or is there not a God? We talked about that. Either you're going to view life from the assumption that there is a God or the assumption that there isn't. And then that breaks down to a bunch of different categories. How did we get? How did everything get here? Once again, what is man? Your view of man, you know, and what I said earlier, and we saw it with Jesse, the view of man from the Bible is that we're what? All sinners need to be redeemed through the blood of Christ. And that man cannot be trusted. That's why they divided the powers among in our government. Okay, so our view of man was totally different than a communist view of man. Communist view of man was that man is in a good state. He's just been corrupted by his education or his environment. Change his education, change his environment, you change the man.
Everything bases back, like you said, our original concept of law was the states. Some states are bigger than other states. Israel, some tribes were bigger than other tribes. But each had the same vote, the same right. Our tribe says that's one vote. even though it could have been one of the small like Benjamin, it could have been one of the larger tribes. You had one vote. Same way, we took that concept when we made the United States. You got a state like North Dakota.
Yeah.
Has 500,000 people. There's 6 million people in New York. So if you didn't have that, New York and California, which you're practically doing anyway now, would be setting the standards of who was elected, who did what. So there's safeguards in there so that everybody's view, not different view, but everybody's view of Christianity and what should be done is brought together.
Very good. That's exactly right. How should we live? Go to a Muslim country. Do they see how you should live differently than what we do here in the United States? Yeah, you ladies would be walking around, you know, with your heads covered with a sheet and, you know, a couple holes poked in like it's Halloween every day. Okay?
Sitting when I drive
the
my
ones grand, I see do over by Bob's house.
Yes. When I drive my grandkids to school, we go by a mosque. There's one there on Sibley Road, one of the biggest ones.
Right.
Lady is sitting out in front. She's driving a car, which they don't allow anyway. She's got her, what's that face thing? Pulled down, and she's smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
But yet she's wearing the, puts it out, pulls the babushka back up. I'm all right now.
Yeah, the babushka.
Yeah. Polish babushka. Muslim. Polish Muslim. Muslims.
You know, there's a group called the Polish Muslims.
I know that. Yeah. One of my favorites. Yeah. Stash used to play for him.
Go out there and, you know, you kind of do the polka and the Muslim dance. You get a tambourine and...
Do you ever see them live?
No, I heard them. They're actually a pretty good group. They're from Hamtramck.
This is the truth. They come out on stage with Muslim gear on and a bowling shirt.
There you go. That's the truth. You got to love them. I think that's where Elma kind of gave fashion tips to. See, Elma, you came next week. She's going to come in, make sure that one color, you know, not too clashing.
You,
no, you wouldn't. You couldn't. You have to have high IQ to do that. But so that's, we know that's out of the question.
Style.
Anything else? You have style?
Yeah.
Stand up again. I know. Maybe we saw you. We want to see you again. We still can't believe it. You know, it's like one of those things that, you know, at first you just can't believe it. And then you got to do a second look. And it's like going by an accident. Man, you see what just happened? Well, if Ashley likes it, and Ashley looks very nice today. She got two solids on and very good. So we won't talk about brown and purple going together, but okay. What is our purpose in life? Okay? So, you know, we as Christians, we have a purpose. As Muslims, they have a purpose. Atheists, they have no purpose. There's no overriding purpose. Okay? Go to the next one. Thank you, Charlie. All right, assumptions. Your worldview or your religious assumptions, and you have them whether you go to church or not. If you're an atheist, you got them. You may not know what they are, but you have them. And they determine the values that influence behavior and shape a culture. Go ahead, hit the switch here. All right, so a foundation. We know you can't build a good house unless you have a solid foundation, and that's your religious assumptions. You know, when you watch those men on the street, women on the street, are you going to heaven? Yeah, well, why? I don't know, I feel good, or I'm a good person, or I believe there's a God, and then you begin asking a few more questions and no idea. So your first floor are the values. So your religious assumptions will determine what your values are. So for Christians, well, you have Muslim, what are the Muslim values? Are they different than Christian values? Yes. Are they different than atheist values? Yeah. You know, so if our worldview is that homosexual marriage is okay, guess what? That's going to be the value that they're going to enact in the law. Hit it again. Second, and it influences the behavior. And then finally, the culture begins to accept it. So that's why Jesus gave us that command, disciple the nations. Okay, we start here, and it works its way where it affects the culture. All right? And most other worldviews start here and work down, but you can never change a culture unless you change the religious assumptions that they have. All right? All right, go to the next one. Show you a picture, yeah. All right, Sharon.
When I was little, there was a lot of things that weren't allowed on TV.
Yeah.
And the government had certain strict rules before they started denying Christ that Hollywood had to go by. And when they started lifting them rules, all of a sudden you start seeing things on TV and things in on the media and everything that wasn't okay before. When they done undergarment commercials, you've seen the undergarments, not half-naked women.
Yeah.
and so on and so forth. And as Hollywood was allowed to do things that the law, which was based on Christianity, as the rules were let up, the world started changing. Watch Hollywood, and you better be praying for them.
Yeah, what Super Bowl was it? Michael Jackson's sister had the wardrobe malfunction. Remember that? Yeah, it was all planned, but you remember the outrage? There was still outrage. But now you had like the MTV Awards or something like that, and somebody's, you know, basically out there dancing with no clue. And is anybody even saying anything? Or the language that will be used. If somebody even said like the word damn on TV back in the day, that wouldn't make it past the censors.
Nope.
But now it's every cuss word. You know, you're flicking through the TV and you see one of the comedians come on and like, you know, one of the kids, and you go, oh my God. And then you compare that like with Bill Cosby, you know, who would tell a story and get you to laugh. These guys, but you know, and everybody's laughing. Like I go, man, I could be a comedian. All right. So here we see the foundation. This is an actual foundation stone that was being dug out, and for whatever reason, they never finished it. But you see a guy standing on it, and there's another guy at the far end. That was one entire stone that would be moved and set under a building, probably a temple. This was over in Israel somewhere. But under the temple itself, these were the stones that were put into place so that structure on top of it didn't budge. You know the pyramids in Egypt? You look at that, and the foundation under them is incredible. These things haven't moved. They're not even off by an inch, this entire structure. Look at your house and look at how many cracks you see, you know, in the basement wall or on the floor. That's from the, you know, settling or not being built on that strong foundation. All right, hit our first scripture. Ezra 6:3. I'll need somebody to look these up, and we'll look at them real quick. I don't know if we'll get to them. Ezra 6:3, who would like to get it? Jerry, you got that one. I'm going to sign them. Go ahead, go to the next one. Matthew 7:24 through 27. Kenny, Sammy, you've got 1 Corinthians 3:11. Sharon, you've got 2 Timothy 2:19. Charlie, you can look up Isaiah 33:6. Don't give me that. Look it up. Find a Bible, son. Ashley, you can look up, next one, Proverbs 1:7. Taylor, you get 2 Timothy 2:19. Oh, we already have that as a repeat. You get Ephesians 2:20. And Carmen, Revelation 21:14. We'll probably just take a few of these to get the whole intent. So I may not call on you. We may just do two or three to get through because we started a little bit late. All right, Jerry, Ezra 6:3.
Ezra 6:3, in the first year of Cyrus, the king of same Cyrus, the king, made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be built, the place where they offer sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid.
Okay, stop right there. Let the foundation be what? Strongly laid. Cyrus the king, who was a pagan king, was sending the Jews back to Israel to rebuild the temple and to go back and inhabit the land. And this king gave a decree to rebuild the temple. And he said, let that foundation, so that foundation stone that we saw, that was probably a stone that was going to be used in a temple or, you know, I don't know if Israel, but in a very important building. Amazing. All right, who's got, okay, Kenny, Matthew 7:24 through 27.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. Rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew a beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash.
All right, so we have Jesus in the parable talking about the wise man, the foolish man. The wise man hears his word and obeys it. The foolish man hears his word but disregards it. He says the wise man is like he built his house on a rock, Christ in his word. Okay, let's jump down to Proverbs 1:7. Who's got that, Ashley? All right, get the microphone over there.
Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Okay, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay, that's the foundation. Where does it start? So you can't have any type of knowledge unless you start, your starting point, your assumption is that there is a God. The atheists, they steal from the Christian view of the world, We need to love our brothers and sisters, and we need to take care of the poor. Why? According to your view of the world, we've evolved. It's, you know, survival of the fittest. So why should we take care of the members of society that are weak, sick, and that are drained on the resources? So they have to step over into the realm of Christianity and grab, you know, love your brother, put that one over there, take care of the poor, boom, boom, boom. They can never justify it by their assumptions. All right, we'll do one more. Revelation 21:14. Who's got that one? All right, Carmen. I know I skipped, but just for the sake of time. But I think you get the idea about the foundation.
The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
Okay. In the book of Revelation, we see this city called the New Jerusalem, which is really just a beautiful picture of the church. Okay, it's not some city going to come out from the moon or what have you. It represents the new creation, the new city, the city of God. The old covenant was represented by Old Jerusalem. This is the New Jerusalem. But the foundation was Christ and the teaching of the 12 apostles. That established the teaching for the church for all time. There's no new revelation that can be added to the Scripture. Okay, somebody comes along like the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, they got a different book and you've got to believe that book, you know what's wrong. Bob.
We don't always think of this, but most of the teaching Jesus did that we hear about wasn't to us or wasn't to the people. It was to the apostles. The most famous would be the Sermon on the Mount. You read it, it says he drew from the crowd and brought the apostles to him and taught that to them. It was their responsibility after he was gone to take that into the world. And from us sitting here, it looks like they did a pretty good job.
That's exactly right. That's why he spent all his that 3.5 years with them, imparting to them, because they were now going to go and duplicate, replicate themselves throughout the world, in which they did. And as you said, Bob, we would not be here. Here's a famous building here. What's that a picture of? Why is it cockeyed like that? And don't say we had Polish architect, okay?
Looks good to Stosh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this brings in millions of dollars. They built this tower back in the, you know, like 1400s, 1500s, and it was straight up. And they built it, and it was like on a sandy foundation. Well, as water and rain, it began to tilt. And the thing would have tilted over. And so what they had to do it a couple times. They had to dig down underneath this and pour cement and establish, guess what? A strong foundation so that thing wouldn't crush over. So it's actually in the courtyard of a church. And this was a, you know, like an observation tower they built back in those times. Beautiful build, but you can see it's famous. Has anybody ever seen that, been there, visited?
Oh. Yeah. The picture, though, it's really lean. If you look at it, it's really lean.
Yeah.
Is it really tall?
Yeah, oh yeah. They used to let people go up there, okay? And they don't do that anymore because of the tilt of the building itself. But how important to show, to illustrate the point, our foundation, where we begin, the assumptions that we have. If we have the wrong assumptions, eventually the entire thing is going to collapse. What happened to communism in the 80s? Collapsed, didn't it? What's going to happen to Islam and what's going to happen to secular humanism? It's all going to eventually collapse. Because Jesus said, those who hear my word but don't obey it, what happened to that house? Sammy? It collapsed, didn't it? And so we have that promise. The only thing that's ever going to stand is the teachings of Christ. Everything that's built upon that rock will stand. Everything that's not built on will fall.
The only thing that brought Islam back into the forefront really was the Western world when they needed oil. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we'd have never heard another thing from them. We put importance on them.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. All right, go to the next one. We had another video. We're not going to get to it. We couldn't find that. But we'll conclude with this in Jude 1:3. Jude, who was Jesus' brother and was one of the last apostles to be alive prior to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And he's writing to the Christians at that time and he's trying to encourage them. There's going to come this horrible time in Israel and in Jerusalem. And he's trying to encourage them to contend for the faith. And he says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted to God's holy people. In other words, that early church was given a message that will never change. And that message has produced civilizations. It has produced ways of thinking contrary to the way the world is thinking. And it was given to them. We have it today in God's holy word. And so he's telling them that in their time of persecution and trial, don't turn back from it. He says, because God has given you the truth. And this truth will always win the day. Though we don't see it with our eyes, and though we think it's being built, beat back in certain places, it's continuing to expand the kingdom of God. More and more people, you know, look in our nation today, they're more and more upset with the way things are going. Why? Because they sense in their heart something's not right. And it's a great opportunity to come and to share the gospel and say, you know, this is the way government should be. This is the way education should be. Just a quick story. The other day I was over at Big B Coffee and I went in, I'm getting ice cream, and a girl standing in front, and she had a U of M Dearborn shirt on. And so I asked her, I said, well, you go to U of M? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, always kind of looking for some way to spark up a conversation. And I said, well, what are you studying? And she said, well, she's into writing. I go, oh, well, that's fascinating. I said, you know, most kids can't write, most can't read. And all of a sudden, man, she just went off on a 15-minute, you know, yeah, that's why I'm getting into it. I want to teach kids how to read. I see there's a problem and blah, 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 blah. And so I let her go on. I said, well, why is that so? Why is there such a problem? Why is the in the schools they teach kids the wrong way to read? No idea. She goes, I don't know. What do you think? Yeah. And so I was able just to share with her a little bit, you know, while we're standing there waiting for an ice cream cone. I said, well, let me tell you why. It's because the way the world looks, I said, well, the way they teach kids to read now is based upon animals reacting to a stimulus. But we're not animals. Bible says we're created in the image of God. And there's a proper way to read, and most of you probably learned to read phonetically. They taught you an A was an A, or you know, the hard A sound, or a B was a ba, C, K, you know, or soft C. And you had to memorize that code, those letter sounds. But that's not how they teach reading today. You look at a word and you're supposed to memorize it and remember it. Okay? And it has devastated the education process. Well, why do they do that? Because they see man as an animal, not as a creature created in the image of God. And so these things get played out in the real world, and they have devastating effects, devastating consequences, the further we get away from God and His Word, or His assumptions, the assumptions that we have about society or man. And the more we buy into the worlds, the more we have, like we see in the book of Genesis, a Babylon. What does the word Babylon mean? Anybody know? Confusion. Everything that is built without God in it becomes what? Confused, and it collapses. Everything that's built on God and His holy word stands. The storms, the waves, and the rain. And so as we, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at, we're going to finish out probably over the next 6 weeks, I will show you different assumptions. There's probably about 20 good ones. The way the world thinks, the way... Any questions before we close here? Okay? When you watch the news, when you read a newspaper, a magazine, immediately look for what are the assumptions that this article is from. Okay? Because it's on your newspapers, it's on your TV program, it's everywhere in life. Even, how about sports talk radio? Yeah, you listen to sports talk radio, and what are they always doing? They're arguing. Leland should have taken him out or left, you know, so-and-so in. What do they do? They're appealing to some type of standard that they both can argue from who's right and who's wrong. Okay, they don't realize they're doing it, but they're doing it. They're trying to convince the other person they're what? They're right, and the other person is wrong.
We're getting like Greece.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're not looking for a right answer. We're just, as long as we're having a dialogue and argument, we're doing good.
Yeah, and what does a dialogue and argument lead to? Nothing. Standstill. Okay, there has to be a standard we all agree upon, and we begin to build. All right, Elma, would you close us in prayer today? Oh, God bless you, Elma. Thank you, Elma. We appreciate it. We love you.
Lord, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for Pastor Don preparing
the word, Lord. We just pray that we could be that light to the world, Lord, when we see others that are with these mm-hmm. thoughts and ideas that are not of you, Lord. May we share and be bold in sharing your word, Lord. We just thank you for this morning. We prepare our hearts for service today, Lord, and we just pray that we can give it all to you in worship today, Lord. Yes. We just thank you. We thank you for all things, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.